Morning. Today's daf in Shavuos is Zion. We are in the very bottom of Vav Amud Beis, a continuation of the Gemara. Not from yesterday. Yesterday we did the entire sugya. Yesterday we took a toe and put it right into the waters of Negaim, and just covered the first Mishnah in Negaim, first Mishnah in Negaim, first Mishnah of Shavuos. Shtaim Shein Arba, that when it comes to Negaim, there are four shades of white. Two of them mentioned the Torah. Two of them are learned out as derivatives. The classic construct of Avos Halados, that's what we did yesterday. And the Gemara only made mention of it yesterday, but making mention means an entire daf. The Gemara made mention of it yesterday because it did come up in the Mishnah, and it gave the Gemara a short opportunity to spend a little bit of time discussing it. Okay, so we are now proficient, although that's a bit of a stretch, but we're proficient now in the first Mishnah of Negaim from yesterday's daf, and we turn back to our Mishnah, and now we start our topic of discussion, meaning our Perek. Our Perek, even though now we're weakened to the Masechta, but now we begin the discussion of the at least first two prakim of the Masechta, and that is Tumas Mikdash VeKadasha. As we already discussed a number of times, at the end of Parshas VaYikra, so one of the Karbonos that the Torah identifies over there is Karbonola VeYarei. Meaning, if you look through Parshas VaYikra, so the first two parakim talk about a Karbon Ola, third parak in VaYikra talks about a Karbon Shlamim, fourth parak in VaYikra talks about a Karbon Chatos, and then the fifth parak deals with some of the more unusual types of Karbon Chatos, specifically in our case, Karbon Ola VeYarei. Torah tells us that under certain circumstances, a person has to bring a carbon olav yarid. Olav yarid just simply means that it's going to go up and down, meaning that the carbon is going to change based on your financial status. If you have money, you're going to bring an animal. If you're poor, you're going to bring a pair of birds. And if you're dalish shabadalos, and if you're extraordinarily poor, you're going to bring a minchal offering. All this will serve as your carbon chatas for certain averus that one violates. Of those averus that one violates, so we already know two of them from our Mishnah. One is Shavuos Bituin, the other one is Yedias Tumah. There's also Shavuos Eidus, which is not, which we're not discussing now, but that's coming up. It's coming up later in the Masechta. And so for the first two Perakim, we're going to be talking about the carbon Olaviyarid as it relates to Yedias Tumah. Here's what we already learned back in the Mishnah. If you go back to the first daf of the Masechta. So we learned back in the Mishnah that if there's a Yediyah B'Tchil and a Yediyah B'Sof, meaning you knew you were tummy, you get exposed to tumah, you knew you were tummy, and then you lapse into a state of unawareness, you go into a halama, and then you rediscover that you are, relearn that you were tummy, and during that halama you go into the Beis HaMikdash, or you eat a karban, so one is going to be subject to that having to bring a karban olav yarid. Okay, now we also learned back in the Mishnah, which is not going to be our discussion for today, that would be true also if the halama went on either the carbon or the Beis HaMikdash, meaning you remembered you were tummy, but you forgot that this was a carbon, you remembered you were tummy, and you forgot that this was a Beis HaMikdash. That's the Shtaim Shein Arba of the Mishnah. In the meantime, however, now as we start the Gemara now, we're on the bottom of Vav Amud Beis, at the two dots, Sheish Bayidiyah B'Tchila V'Chulei. The Gemara's question over here is going to be simple and basic, and that is, how do we know? How do I know that the carbon olav yarid is specifically for somebody who either eats carbon or goes into the Beis HaMikdash while in the state of Tumah? And if you read the Pesukim, and not if, when we're going to read the Pesukim, we're going to do so right now, it's not really clear from the Pesuk that this is the infraction that's being violated. Let's see the Pesukim together. This is now Parakei of Vayikra. O Nefesh, starting from the second Pesuk. O nefesh asher tiga b'chol davar tamei b'nivlas chayit meya. A person touches something which is tamei or a nevela. O nivlas behema tamei. O nivlas sheretz tamei. V'nelam mimenu. So the Torah says that he touches something, a source of tamei, navatama. Most of the examples given in this pasuk is nevela. And then, nelam mimenu. And he lapses into a state of unawareness. V'hu tamei. And he's tamei. V'ashem, and therefore he's guilty. There is not a single mention reference in the Pasuk of what he did during the state of Tumah. In fact, one can even suggest, and I'm not reading, I'm just reading the Pasuk. One can even suggest that the Isser in the Torah is to become Tumah, but that's not true. Meaning, there's no Isser per se to become Tumah. There are Isser in the Torah of becoming Tumah and then eating Truma, eating Karban, going into the Beis HaMikdash. But in the Pesukim themselves regarding Karban Olav Yarid, there's simply no explicit reference of what it's discussing. And then the Torah goes on to say, and then he brings a carbon, and then if he doesn't have that, he'll bring a pair of birds, and if he doesn't have that, if he doesn't have the wherewithal, then he'll bring a mincha. it is not clear from the psukim that he is tamei and then what? And then what? So, over the course of today's daf, we're asking a really simple question, and the answer is going to be a little bit complicated, but, well, let's put it this way. We know what the answer is, because we learned it back in the Mishnah. Meaning he's tummy and either go in, and while having forgotten about his tumma, either goes into the Beis HaMikdash or eats carbon. So we know what the conclusion is going to be. It's just a question now of how to get from the psukim to the conclusion. And that's really our objective for today. That's the avod of today's daf. That's what most of today's daf is revolving around. So let's begin the discussion. We are on the very bottom of Vav Amud Beis. Tanu Rabbanan. Simple question of the Braisa, but now after having gone through the Psukim, you appreciate, you understand like how good a question this is. How do I know that the carbon olav yored is specifically addressing somebody who is, while in a state of Tumah, either having gone into the base of Mikdash or eating carbon? So the Vidinu, Ho Vihizir V'anash Ala Tumah, V'chay of carbon Ala Tumah, So the Gemara says, well, we can make the following argument. And that is, well, where's the Avera? Meaning, I'm only going to bring a carbon if I violate an Avera. And actually, we can make the point even a little bit stronger. Meaning, when do I normally bring a carbon chatas? Well, I bring a carbon chatas when the Avera that I violate is nisar kares. Meaning, that's generally the rule. So what the Gemara now is pointing out is that we can't just simply be talking about tumah, because becoming tamei in of itself is not an avera. It's great to be in a state of tahara at all times, but it's not an avera per se to become tamei. You just simply correct it by going into the mikvah, or if it's tumas meis, para aduma. But there's no iser per se. So if we're talking about a carbon, and here we're talking about a carbon olav yored, so presumably this is the Bryce's argument, it has to be associated with an avera. So we know there is an avera for somebody who's tamei to either eat carbon or to go into the Beis HaMikdash. There are psukim that lay down an isser for those kinds of infractions. And furthermore, not only is it usser, but it's an isser kares for doing either one of those activities, going into the Beis HaMikdash while tamei or eating carbon while tamei. So therefore, it's fair now to argue that the only time that you're going to be bringing the carbon olav yored is if you lapse in a state of unawareness while tamei and violate these isurim in a state of shoge. The Gemara says, okay, your argument is sound, but you know what? With this argument, we can actually extend. And what are we going to extend it to? Ve'ema av truma. So the Gemara says that maybe it's coming to include even truma as well. She hizir v'anash. We know that if a person, while in a state of tumah, a kohen for that matter, while in a state of tumah, were to eat truma, so he's going to be subject to an onish. Now the onish for achilas truma betuma is not kares. It's only misa b'dei shamayim. Now I say only, by the way, obviously I'm speaking in relative terms, meaning misa b'dei shamayim is one step below kares. But that's important though, because we know that the carbon chatas is only brought for isuri kares. Eating truma in a state of tumah is misa b'dei shamayim, just one drop lower, but that one drop lower, as far as karbanos is concerned, should make all the difference. So the Gemara says, lo ashkechan ava misa de chayv ala karban. So the Gemara now makes exactly that point, that we don't find that you're going to bring a carbon for Misa B'dei Shemaim, a carbon chatas, a standard carbon chatas for Misa B'dei Shemaim. Granted, over here, we're not talking about the standard carbon chatas, it's a carbon olav yored, but effectively, it's the same idea. So just like I'm not going to bring a carbon chatas for Misa B'dei Shemaim, I'm not going to bring the carbon olav yored for Misa B'dei Shemaim. Therefore, it's only those kinds of averas that bring about a chiyuv kares, if done intentionally. So the Gemara says, carbon kavua. So the Gemara says, fine, your point is excellent. When it comes to a carbon chatzas only addresses isurei kares. That's true. But we're not talking about a carbon chatzas as we turn now to the top of Zayin Amud Aleph. Aval ola v'yared nesi. But maybe for the carbon ola v'yared, you would bring, even though the infraction over here is not isurei kares. And the Gemara says, and consider midah havi hashmias kol. Meaning one of the infractions in the Torah that a person has to bring a carbon olav yared is shvuas edus. Basin comes over to you, says, you have testimony. And you say, no, I don't. You don't have testimony? Nope. Are you ready to swear to the fact that you don't have testimony? Sure. And you make a shvua. And you swear to the fact that you don't have testimony. And meanwhile, you did. And you made a shvua b'sheker. Under those circumstances, a person brings a carbon olav yared. Now that is not an Isser Karis, not even Isser Misa B'dei Shemaim. It's a lav. It's a lav in the Torah. And yet the Torah requires one under those circumstances to bring a Karban Olah V'Yareid. So you see already that the standards for the Karban Olah V'Yareid is different than your classic Karban Chatas. So just because eating truma in a state of tuma is not incur a Karis penalty if done by mezid, but we're not talking about a Karban Chatas, we're talking about the Karban Olah V'Yareid. And clearly, for the Karban Olah V'Yareid, the standards are going to be different than your classic Karban Chatas. So the Gemara says, I'm sorry, Shmias Kol and Bitu'is Tefasayim, and also for a Shvus Bitu'i, which we addressed on day one of this Masechta. When you make a Shvur that you're either going to or not going to eat a loaf of bread, or Shvur Sha'avar, that I did or I did not eat a loaf of bread and you violated your Shvur, so once again, you bring a Karban Olah V'Yareid. That's not an Issur Karis. So you see that it's the same point, that the Karban Olah V'Yareid is not necessarily for just an Issur Karis. So the Gemara says, Amakra, ba lema'ute truma. So the Gemara says that if you look back in the Pasukim regarding Karban Olah V'Yareid, the Pasuk says, going back to the Pasuk, I'm reading the Pasuk, it's not in the Gemara, O ki yiga b'tumas adam l'chol tumas so asher yitma ba. So a person touches anything tamei that will make him tamei. The word ba, generally speaking, is a miut. And over here, what is it coming to exclude? It's coming to exclude achilas truma b'tumah. Okay, so where are we at right now? So we are making the argument that the Karban Olah V'Yareid, we certainly know the Torah is very clear that the person's tummy, but what did he do while in that state of tumma? It's not just being tummy alone that requires the Karban Olah V'Yareid. He must do something. So what the Gemara is arguing is that he must do something that if done b'mezid, would bring about a serious infraction, notably in Issur Karis. So while tumming, going to the base of Mikdash, or while tumming, eating carbon, that brings in Issur Karis. So if done b'shogeg, that's going to bring about the Karban Olah V'Yareid. What about eating truma? So the Gemara says, we have a miut to exclude truma. Ema, the Gemara continues, we're towards the top of Zayin Amad Aleph. Ema, ba lema'ute Mikdash, the lo sagilei b'karban Olah V'Yareid, adamaisi carbon kavua. So the Gemara says, look, ba is a miut. I agree, right? That's a given. Maybe what the ba is coming to exclude is the base of Mikdash, meaning that if you go into the base of Mikdash while in a state of truma, not b'mezid, but b'shogeg. But if you go into the base of Mikdash while in a state of tumma, maybe the ba is coming to tell me that Karban Olah V'Yareid is not enough. It is such a serious infraction that maybe I'm not going to be mechaper myself until I bring a standard bona fide Karban Chatas. And so maybe that's what the ba is trying to accomplish. Not to exclude achilas truma. So the Gemara says, Kari Rava ala de Rebbe. So the Gemara says, look, we're gonna have to address this question, and we're gonna have to attack it from a different approach. En hachinami, from the argument itself of, well, it must be some sort of infraction, it's simply not enough of an argument to identify that the Isser is either eating carbon or going into the base of Mikdash. It has to be learned out through Limudim. And the first Limud is going to come to us via Rebbe, but before the Gemara gives us Rebbe's Limud, the Gemara first gives us a Shevach of Rebbe. Rava says regarding Rebbe, Kari Rava la de Rebbe, dolamayim mi baris amukim. What he's able to do is he's able to draw out water from very deep wells. Detanya, we learned in a Braisa Rebbe Omer. Now, Rebbe is looking at two pasuk, and one pasuk obviously by where we are, the Karban Olah V'Yareid. O Nefesh, I'm reading the pasuk in its entirety. O Nefesh, Ashtika b'chol davar tamei, b'nivlas chaya tamei, b'nivlas behema tamei. So you'll notice that it says the word chaya over there in our parsh of Karban Olah V'Yareid. Ekra ni chaya behema lama nemra. And it also says also the words behema as well. So why is our parsha talking about touching the carcass of chaya or touching the carcass of behema? So nemra kan behema tameya, but nemra lahalan behema tameya. Now behema is already included in chaya. So chaya just simply means a living creature. I know in animals there are halachic differences between a chaya and behema, but in the discussion of tuma, meaning an animal that died without a shechita is a nevela, behema or chaya. So why does it also say behema? So nemar kan behema tameya, v'nemar lahalan behema tameya. It says in Parshat Tzav also behema tameya. I'm reading the pasuk in full. V'nefesh ki siga b'chol tamei b'tumas adam o b'behema tameya. So ma lahalan tumas kodesh. Now there in Parshat Tzav it's talking about eating a carbon while in a state of tuma avkan tumas kodesh. So too over here, the infraction that's being described is tumas kodesh. So basically, what are we learning together? It's called gzeira shavah, meaning Rebbe's teaching us gzeira shavah. Now, it is a little bit interesting, and the Rishonim are bothered, not the Rishonim on the daf, But the Rishonim are bothered by, Rava gives this big, the high praise to Rebbe. He's able to draw water from very deep well. Why? Because he can say over Gzeira Shava. You don't make up Gzeira Shava, meaning Gzeira Shava is only a Kabbalah, only something that you receive from your Rebbe who got it from his Rebbe. And so why the high praise for according to Gzeira Shava? You make a Kavach Omer, okay, you get high praise. But for Gzeira Shava, okay. The Rishonim are bothered by this. The Rishonim give answers. I'm not going to go over the answers right now, but certainly a worthwhile endeavor to explore. In the meantime, however, back to our Gemara. So what do we establish now through Rebbe's Gzeira Shava? That the carbon olav yared is while you're tameh or while you forgot you were tameh, so you ate carbon. Okay, that's 50% of what we need to accomplish today. That's not bad. But that's insufficient because we know where the end of the road is going to take us. We know that while tameh you either ate carbon or you went into the Beis Hamikdash. So under both those circumstances, you bring carbon olav yared. So through Rebbe's Gzeira Shava, so half of our job is done today. Okay, so we know now through the Gzeira Shava that if you eat carbon while in a state of tumah and you do so b'shogeg, so you're going to be chayav carbon olav yared. Ashkechan, and that brings us to the next part of today's daf. Ashkechan tumas kodesh tumas mikdash minalan. What about tumas mikdash? So Amakra, so the Torah says b'chol kodesh lo siga ve'al hamikdash lo savo. Itkish mikdash l'kodesh. So we have a hekesh over here between the mikdash and kodesh. Now, this is, let's just contextualize. This is talking about the yoledes. The yoledes, after having given birth, so she's tameah, depending if it's a boy or a girl. Boy 7 days, girl 14 days. She'll be tameah for either 7 or 14 days. And then afterwards, she goes to the mikvah, and then she goes to an extended period of what's called a tful yom. A tful yom is, generally speaking, after having gone to the mikvah, that night, you're going to be tahara, but in the case of the oledes, that full yom period is going to extend. How long is it going to extend for? Where if she had a boy, it'll go from day 8 to day 40. If she had a girl, it'll go from day 15 to day 80. Okay, so it's either a 33 or 66 day period of her being a tful yom. While being a tful yom, what are you excluded from? Eating karbanos, going into the base of mikdash. Okay, so now the Torah says regarding the yoledes, so b'chol kodesh lo sigav al mikdash lo savo. You can't touch kodesh, but touching kodesh here means eating carbon. You can't eat carbon, and you can't go into the base of mikdash. So what do you see from the yoledes? They go hand in hand. Eating carbon and going to the base of mikdash is a package deal. So they get bundled together. So the Gemara says, so if they get bundled over there by the yoledes for the tful yom of the yoledes, so over here by the carbon olav yared, they get bundled together as well. So the Gemara says, okay, now if you're using your lettuce as a model in terms of what gets bundled together, you know what also gets bundled together? Truma. The lettuce cannot eat truma. While during her tful yom period, let's say she's a bas kohen or she's an ashes kohen, that's better, because a bas kohen, she's married, hopefully. I mean, she just had a baby. So the, okay. Let's just keep it simple. She's an Ashes Kohen, so she's normally entitled to Truma, but during this Tvul Yom period, so she can't eat Truma. So you see that Achilas Truma is also bundled together with this. So once again, so why not the carbon olav yared? Why does that not also include eating Truma while in the state of Truma? So the Gemara says, yeah, you're right. That in of itself would have been a great argument, but hamiyat and rechman ba. But remember, we have the word ba that we used earlier as a miyut. We're still going to use it as a miyut, and therefore it trims off truma off the carbon olav yared. Ema ba lima'ute mikdash. So the Gemara says again, why is that a compelling argument? Maybe the word ba is coming to exclude mikdash. So the Gemara says, mistabra mikdash lamimatin. The Gemara says, no. It's much more logical to suggest that mikdash is not going to be excluded. So shekain bekaris kamosa, because again, if I'm talking about what's getting bundled together, what's getting packaged together, kodesh and mikdash should get bundled together. Because if I eat kodesh while in a state of tumah, having forgotten that I was tameh, that's an eser kares. Let me say it correctly. If I eat kodesh while I know that I'm tameh, not that I forgot. While I know that I'm tameh, that's an Isser Kares. Going into the base of Mikdash, while I know that I'm tameh, is also an Isser Kares. That's not true by Truma. Truma is only a Chiyuv Misei B'Dei Shamayim. So if I'm going to ask the question, what should get packaged and bundled together, so Mikdash and Kodesh should get bundled together, it's more Mistaber. They're both having isakaris. Adarabat truma lo mematina shekein achila kamosa. So the Gemara says, yeah, but if you're going to leave it for an argument, I can make an argument the other direction. Meaning, what should I bundle together? I should bundle achilas carbon and achilas truma. Do you know why? Because they're both achila. Meaning, going into the base of Mikdash while tamei, yes, it's an isakaris if done intentionally, but that's just simply walking into the base of Mikdash. When I'm talking about eating truma and eating carbon, that's both a maisa achila. And so therefore, if you want to make an argument, I can make a very good argument that the eating of Kodesh and the eating of Truma should be bundled together. So Elama Rava. So the Gemara says, okay. So what we're going to have to do now is we're going to have to change course. Meaning, in Achinami, in of itself, that argument is not sufficient to lay down the basic halacha that you're only going to bring a carbon ola v'yored for Tumas Kodesh or Tumas Mikdash. And so therefore, what we have to do, we have to come up with another source. When I say come up with, meaning the Gemara is going to bring down another source. Keep in mind, however, that we're still 50% of the job has been completed. Meaning, as far as Tumas Kodesh is concerned, we know that a person is going to be chayav a carbon olav yard for Tumas Kodesh because of the Gzeirah Shavah Rebbe. That hasn't changed. The Gzeirah Shavah Rebbe is still intact. It's just now for Mikdash, how do I know that a carbon olav yard is going to be brought for Tumas Mikdash? That is the part that still needs to be uncovered. El Amarava, so the Gemara now is going to take us down a different path. So, Shalosh Krisos Bishlamim Lama. So, there are three psukim that tell us that if a person eats shlamim in a state of tuma, he's going to be subject to kares. Once again, I'm going to just simply read the psukim inside, just to familiarize yourself with the psukim. Pasuk number one is found in Parshas Emor. The pasuk says, "Kol ish asher yikra mikol zarachem ela kadashim asher yakdish bnei Yisrael Hashem v'tumaso alav v'nichrasa nefesh ahi." So the Torah says regarding any of the kadashim. Now, here in the first pasuk in Parshas Amor, so you'll notice that it doesn't say shlamim; it says kadashim, meaning it's in the very generic sense of anything which is kodesh. Then a next pasuk is from Parshas Tzav. A person who eats from the zevach hashlamim, and he's tamei v'nichrasa nefesh ahimei ameha. So he's going to be subject to kares. Obviously, we're talking about the person who does it intentionally. And finally, a third pasuk. Now, for this third pasuk, you don't have to go that far. It's the next pasuk in Parshat Tzav. So v'nefesh ki siga b'chol tamei b'tumas adam abe behemas tamei al b'chol sheketz tamei v'achal mi basar zevach hashlamim. Very next, Pasuk repeats once again that one is going to be subject to an Isser Kares when it comes to Achila Shlamim. So, what do we have over here? Three Psukim in the Torah that tell us that if a person eats carbon, now the second two Psukim specify Shlamim, but if you eat a carbon while in a state of Tumah, you're going to be subject to Kares. How many times does the Torah need to teach us this? Of course, only once. Well, it's true that the Torah has to give a Azhara and an onish, although that might not be the case over here because it's not corporal punishment. Okay, sorry, I'm just thinking out loud right now. Okay. Anyway, so the Torah only, of course, needs to tell us this once, and meanwhile, the Torah tells us this on three separate occasions in the Torah. So what do we have right now? So the Gemara is going to tell us what we have right now. Shalosh krisus v'shlamim lama. So why do I have three krisus when it comes to shlamim? Achas leklal, achas leprat. So we have a klal and a prat. Now, when the Gemara says klal and prat over here, Rashi spends a lot of time discussing this. You can see the Rashi on the side. I'm not going to go through the Rashi this morning. But just to paraphrase, it's not in the classic sense of klal uprat. And the reason being, says Rashi, because the classic klal uprat, like in the Yugim Amidah Shatar Nijeshas Behem, that's when the klal and the prat are right next to each other. Meaning they are actually in the same pasuk together. The generality is specific. Just a couple days ago, we went through a number of examples of klal uprat, klal uprat uklal. So that is not what is being described over here. Over here, the Gemara just simply means that we have a general rule. That's the pasuk and emor that we quoted, the first pasuk and emor that we quoted. That's kol hakadoshim. That refers to kodesh in general. Sorry, el hakadoshim. Sorry. And then we had another pasuk back in Tzav where the Torah actually specifies shlamim. So this is called davar shebichlal, that anything which has a general rule, v'yatzam in a klal lame, this is another one of the rules of the Yudim Gimel Midah Shetarj Nijeshet Bam, but it's not what we normally refer to as klal prat. It's called davar shebichlal, v'yatzam in a klal lame, and then the Torah gives us another occasion And as Rashi explains, in a different location, not in the same pasuk, where it's, it tells us something specific, lo lamed al atzmo yatsa, el lamed al klal kula yatsa. So therefore now, it's the prat, which is going to be revelatory regarding the klal. Meaning from the specific example that the Torah is going to give us, it's not just limited to that particular example, but it's going to be true universally throughout all the generality. I said that in the very abstract. Let's see that play it out over here. So the Gemara says from the first pasuk, we're going to get to the third pasuk in just a moment. From the first pasuk, the Torah just simply says that you're tameh, and what do you do? I'm just looking back at the pasuk in Emor. It says the kol isha sheyikra mikol zarachem el hakadosh asher yikdishu b'nei Yisrael Hashem v'tumasu alav. The Torah is just simply speaking about Kodesh in sweeping generalities. What do we learn out from the second pasuk in Parshat Tzav? No, it's not Kodesh in sweeping generalities. Specifically, it's carbon. Meaning, if you eat carbon, then and only then are you going to be subject to the Sakaris. So the Kadashim is really just another way of saying carbonos. That's what we learn out through the rule of Klal and Prat. But again, Prat over here, not in the Klal of Prat sense, but in the sense of Kol Davish Yatsam and a Klal Amid. Now, we have a third pasuk. What is the third pasuk coming to teach us? And this is why we're here. V'achas atum ha-seksuva b'Torah Stam. And then the third time in the Torah, where it says Nesar Kares, is coming to apply to another place in the Torah where it says simply Tumah. Ve'eni yodea mahi, havi omer, Tumas Kodesh. Now, so what the third Isser Kares is coming to tell me is that you see this Isser of eating carbon in a state of Tumah, it should apply somewhere else in the Torah. Meaning, look to another place in the Torah where it describes Tumah in generic terms. Take this pasuk and apply it over there. So now we're going to be taking the second pasuk from Parshat Tzav and then just simply look. I mean, we're not doing the work. The work's been done for us. Looking around the Torah, seeing where Tumah, if there is some sort of infraction of Tumah, and then plugging it in over there. Where are we going to take it to? Well, we know where. We're going to take it to the end of Parshas Vayikra. We're going to take it to Parakeh. We're going to take it to Karban Olav Yared, and we're going to apply it over there. And there it allows us now to say that this pasuk in Parshat Tzav is referring to Karban Olav Yared of Parakeh, but we're not done yet. We're almost done. And then the Gemara says one more step in this process, and that is the im eino inyan l'tumas kodesh shenafkalei midrabi teneo inyan l'tumas mikdash. Now, what are we going to learn from here? So that if you eat carbon while in a state of tumah, so you're going to be subject to the carbon all over Yari. But the Gemara says, but wait one second. We already know that information because we learned it through the Gzeirah Shavah of Rebbe. So now we're going to use another procedure that operates through drush, and that is the Imeno Inyan. Now that I know that I can't apply it towards eating Kodesh because I already know that through the Gzeirah Shavah of Rebbe, so now that leaves me only with applying it to something similar. What's similar to eating Kodesh? That is going into the Beis HaMikdash while in the state of Tumah. Okay. And now, I would say our work is almost complete for today. Meaning, so how do I know that the Karban Olav Yared, the Torah only says that the person's tummy. What Isser did he violate while in the state of Tumah? So for Achilas Karban, again, we're talking about Shogig because it's a Karban. So for Achilas Karban while in the state of Tumah, so we learned that through the Gzeirah Shavah of Rebbe. For going into the Beis HaMikdash while tummy, we know that through the three psukim in the Torah where it mentions in Isser Kares for eating a carbon while in a state of tumah. The first and second are there to teach us the rule of klal uprat. Okay, not klal uprat, but a generality, and then it just explaining that it's only talking about carbonos. And the third pasuk is now allowing us to apply it to teach us this second halacha. Now, even though it's true, it's talking about eating carbon while in a state of tumah, im eino inyan l'achila, if it's not talking about eating because we already learned it through the Gzeirah Shavah of Rebbe, so then we could just simply extend it to going into the Beis HaMikdash. Now that we're almost done, the Gemara continues, v'haimi bai lechad Rebbe Abo, dam Rebbe Abo, shal shkrisus b'shlamim lama. Now the Gemara says, now, truth be told, is that we already learned a halacha from the three psukim. Achas l'kla, achas l'prat. Now again, one and two are teaching us the same point, that you can't eat a carbon while in a state of tumah. And the third one is coming to teach us that you're going to be subject to kares if I eat kodesh, even though it's inedible. Now, generally speaking, admittedly, you're not going to be chai for eating inedibles. But regarding the eating of the consumption of an edible kodesh while in a state of tumah, the third pasuk is coming to teach us that you're going to be chayiv. What kind of inedibles are we talking about? I know this is a strange discussion, but we're talking about eating from the atzei hamaracha, from the wood that's going on the mizbeach, from eating lavona, from eating ketores. These obviously are things that are inedible, and obviously it's a chiddush atzuma, it's a big chiddush to say, that one's going to be subject to the kari's penalty, even though these are eating inedible foods. But it is kodesh, and he is in a state of tumah, and so a person's going to be chayiv. I mean, right, but Mi'ila doesn't bring about an Issacharis, right? The Chiddush over here is that it's going to be an Issacharis. Ula Rabbi Shimon da Amar Shidvarim na Eina Nechalam in Chayim Alam Karis Mishum Toma. Now Rabbi Shimon disagrees with this very Yesod. Rabbi Shimon says that a person is not going to be Chayiv Karis for eating an edible food while in a state of Toma. So La Asuye Chatos Apanimia. So, but that's fine, says the Gemara, because Rabbi Shimon, we still have other things to include, notably Chatos Apanimia. There are a number of carbon chatoses, not a lot, but there are a number of carbon chatoses that are, instead of being offered on the outer Mizbeach, where a good part of that carbon chatos is going to be eaten by Zichrei Kahuna in the Azara, there are a handful of carbon chatoses that are offered in the Mizbeach Apanimi. Yom Kippur is the most popular one, but there's also Parhelim Davishol Tzibor and one other or two others. Anyway, but but those karbanos are not eaten by Zichrei Kahuna. Those are what are described as Parma Nisrafim. They are going to be burnt, and those karbanos so are not generally eaten. And what the Gemara is saying is that the third pasuk is coming to teach me that if a person, while in a state of tumah, was to eat from the chatos apanimi, even though they're not normally eaten, a person is going to be subject to karis. Sakadat chaymin, the Gemara just simply spells out the half amino hovama, Rabbi Shimon, kol shein akravam is be'achit son kishlam emein chayav mishum pigol. So is the person is not going to be subject to the pigol penalty if he eats from a carbon chatos apanimi, where the Kohen had a bad machshava. Okay, and again, not for now, but on another occasion, we'll explain pigol in much greater detail. In fact, when we get to Masech Tzvachim, pigol is going to be discussed at great length. So anyway, so I might have thought that since the Chatos HaPanim is not subject to pigol, so Mishum Tumah Nami Lo. So therefore, it's not going to be subject to Tumah as well. Kamash Malan de Mechayev. So the third pasuk over here is coming to tell me that you're going to be chayev kares for eating from the chatzos apanimi while in a state of tumah. So what just happened over here? The Rava's approach using the three psukim, so that was just taken away from us because we just used the third pasuk not so that we could use it for the carbon olav yard, but to teach me a halacha that either one of two options, either that if I eat a non-edible carbon, like the atzei hamaracha, while in the state of tumah, it's going to be subject to karis. Or according to Rabbi Shimon, if I eat from the chatos hapanimi while in the state of tumah, I'm going to be subject to the karis penalty. But what just happened is that third pasuk was taken away from us. So once again, back to the drawing board. How do I know that the carbon olav yared is that a person, while having forgotten that he was in a state of tumah, again eating carbon, we know through the gzeirah shavah of Rebbe. That still remains. That's been established at the beginning of the daf. But now the question of going into the Beis HaMikdash is also included. The Gemara tried a svara. The Gemara says the svara is not compelling. The Gemara attempted to use the three psukim of Rava. Gemara says right now that's also not available. So Ella Amri Naradai Mishum Mishmei Derava. So the Gemara says, well, here's another approach that we're going to try. And that is, again, same three psukim, the pasuk from Emor, the two psukim from Sav, like we just quoted earlier. But instead of looking at the fact of the Issachari, Shalosh Tumos Bishlamim Lama. It says the words Tumah on all three of those occasions. Achas L'Kla, Achas L'Pra, V'Acha L'Tumas Aksuva B'Torastam. So again, what we're going to do now is same three psukim, but instead of focusing on the Kari's mentioned in the pasuk, we're looking at the Tumah. Eini Yodea Ma'izo Havi Omer Tumas Kodesh. It's basically the same approach that we just used, but instead of focusing on the Issur Karis, we're now looking at the fact that each one of them says Tumah. The Gemara says, Hai Nami Mi Baile. The Gemara says, you didn't help us over here, because truth of the matter says, the Gemara, I did the Baile Mechtav Lechad Rabbi Abau, Kasav Nami Tumas, the Lo Sagila Balav Hachim. The Torah needed to write the word tumah because remember, in all three of those psukim, there's an issur kares. There's only an issur kares because you're tameh. So the word tameh in each one of those psukim is not extraneous. Admittedly, the kares penalty in the psukim are extraneous. And we already addressed why the Torah repeats the word kares in all three of these psukim. But the tumah is not extraneous. It's necessary for the fact that you're going to be receiving kares. So the Gemara says, so once again, that approach also brings us to a dead end. El Amar Rava, Asya Tumasa Tumasa. So Rava says, regarding carbon olah v'yari, the Torah says the word tumah, and we're connected to another place in the Torah where it says the word tumah. Ksiv Hacha, it says here, meaning by carbon olah v'yari, lechol tumaso, for any tumah. Uksiv Hasam, top of Zayin Amad Beis, and it says over there, this is in Parshas Chukas, this is by the Parah Aduma. The pasuk says, "Tame yiyeh o tumaso bo malal and tumas mikdash afkan tumas mikdash." So over there in Parshas Chukas, the Torah is clearly talking about going into the base of mikdash while being tame, and the Torah uses the word tumaso over there. So to now here by carbon olah v'yared through now our gzeirah shava. So therefore, it comes to the carbon olah v'yared is going to be addressing a person tame and going into the base of mikdash. Okay, so. After a lot of dead ends, the Gemara, this is the Gemara, Darker Shebekodesh, where the Gemara makes a number of attempts of arriving at a conclusion using certain arguments and certain pathways. The Gemara is sometimes successful, but even a lack of success doesn't stop the Gemara from either trying and bringing it down for us. And then the Gemara says, okay, Nachinami, these previous attempts don't work. What do we have over here? Exereshava. So the Gemara says, Ve'ela ba'lamali. So the Gemara says, now, assuming that this is so now let's go back to the word ba that we studied earlier this morning. What do we say the word ba is coming to teach us? It's coming to teach us a miyut. What was the miyut? Truma. If you, while in a state of tumah, having forgotten about your tumah, eat truma, you don't bring a carbon olah v'yared. You can make the argument that you should bring a carbon olah v'yared. If you eat carbon while tumah, you bring carbon olah v'yared. So truma as well. And even though it's not a chiv kares, it's only misa b'day shemayim, but okay, we're talking about carbon olah v'yared. We're not talking about the standard carbon chatas. Now the Gemara points out, we don't need the miyut. We needed the miyut when we were learning it through binyanav, davar shebichlal. In other words, so if we were using those kinds of arguments, we needed the miyut. But now, how do we learn these halachas directly via gzera shava? So if it's directly via gzera shava, so now I know that for kodesh, the gzera shava of Rebbe. For mikdash, the gzera shava of Rava. So now that's gzera shava, I don't need the word ba, no longer is a miyut. Ela ba lamali, so then why do I have the word ba? So le rabos nevlasof tahor, so what it's coming to do is it's coming to include, how did you become tame? So the Torah gave a number of examples, but really, all those examples were touching nevela. I touched the nevela of an animal. There is an unusual way that a person can become tame, and it's what's called nivlas of tahor. Nivlas of tahor means as follows. Right, I have a bird, it was a kosher bird, didn't receive a proper shkita, so now it's a nevela. And if I touch it, I don't become tame. How does the tumah of the nivlas of tahor transmit from the bird to me? So I have to eat it. I eat a kezais of the bird, of the nivlas of tahor. Once it goes into my throat, into the beis ablia, so then I become tameh. Admittedly, it's unusual, but okay, that's exactly the point. It's an unusual way of becoming tameh. And it is an avatumah, meaning it's ke'ilu as if you touch an avatumah, meaning a regular nevela. So it is an unusual transmission of tumah. So the ba over here is coming to include achilas nivlas of tahor. So the Gemara says, but wait one second. Aha, Mart, miyutu. So the Gemara says, but wait one second. Didn't we start off the entire day this morning saying that the ba is a miyut? And generally speaking, throughout Shas, when you see the word ba, it's an exclusionary term. So the Gemara says, mishum di miyutu hu iyaser. So the Gemara says, yep, that's right. So because it's exclusionary, so therefore it's going to include. I know sometimes Gemara is confusing. But here's a wonderful example where because it's exclusionary, therefore it's going to include. But the Gemara explains itself. Ksiv o kiyiga. So the Torah, when talking about the transmission of tumah by the carbon olah v'yared, so the Torah says that he touches. So davar nigia, meaning how did you contract tumah? You contracted tumah through nigia. So Dvar Negiah in, Labar Negiah lo, which is coming to tell me that only when I touch him am I going to become Tameh. But if I get Tumah through a non-touching method, i.e. Nivlas of Tahor, where the Tumah does not come about through Negiah, but rather comes about through consumption of the bird, so then I'm not, that is already going to be excluded. So what do we have over here? A double exclusion, meaning I learn out through the, by virtue of the fact that the Torah says, ki yiga, that all means that it already excludes nivlas of tahor. And then when the Torah says ba, that's your second exclusion. And you know the rule, the Gemara says it all the time, uksiv ba, miuta, that's a second miut, havemir achamir, vemir achamir, ala rabos. And the double miut is there, not coming to exclude, but rather to include. So when a person becomes tameh through nivlas of tahor, so he's going to now have the status in which he's tameh, to the extent where if he eats carbon now, or if he goes into the base of Mikdash, he's subject to bringing the carbon olav yored. To succinctly summarize the Gemara now, basically, the question that we started off the day with was, from the Psukim itself, how do I know that a person is going to be subject to bringing the carbon olav yored when he is tummy, forgets about his tumah? Remember, had he had the yediyah at the beginning and the yediyah at the end, and he had a halama, he had become unaware of his tumah, he forgets his tumah, and then either eats carbon or goes into the base of Mikdash while Tameh. The Psukim in the Parsha in Vayikra don't mention either of those points, that while Tameh he ate carbon or he went into the base of Mikdash. And after a almost daf of Gemara, how do we know both of these points? The answer is really Gzereshava. Meaning for point number one, for eating Kodesh, it's Gzereshava of Rebbe. For point number two, for going into the base of Mikdash, it's Gzereshava of Rava. Okay. And again, I know I said it over really succinctly, and the Gemara could have done that, but that's not the way the Gemara operates. The Gemara tries to go through other channels and other avenues in order to arrive at that conclusion.
Is it unusual for an Amora to offer a Gezer
Shabbos? Not unheard of. Meaning, off the top of my head, I could think of another occasion, but in other words, it's more likely to come from tonight. Okay, but it's a good observation. Okay, let's quickly run through just the next bit of Gemara. Yesh by Yediyah B'Tchila Ve'Ein by Yediyah B'Sof Seir Nesu Bifnim. The Seir Yom Kippur, in other words, there are three Seir, and we talked about this on day one of the Masechta. There are three Seir that are born Yom Kippur, one Bifnim, one Bachutz, and one as your Musafim. So the one Bachutz is Lazazel. And then I should be clear about that. The one is Bifnim, meaning one is brought into the Dam is sprinkled in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, on the Peroches, on the Mizbeach HaPnimi. That's the Seir LaHashem. Then there's a Seir Lazazel, where it's not offered as a carbon, but rather sent off into the wilderness and then thrown off a cliff. And then there's a Seir that comes, the Seir Chatos that comes as part of the Musafim of Yom Kippur. So there are three Seirim on Yom Kippur, and we learned back in the Mishnah that the Seir HaNasa B'Bifnim, that the one that is offered where the blood is sprinkled in the Kodesh HaKadoshim and on the Parochas, on the Mizbech HaPanimi, that provides a Kapara for Tumas Mikdash, where there was a Yediyah B'Tchila, but there was no Yediyah B'Sof. Meaning, basically, the guy hasn't realized yet that he violated Tumas Mikdash, or Tumas Kodesh. And under those circumstances, now the Seir Bifnim is going to be Megan will protect him until he hits the point of realization, and then he himself is going to have to bring a carbon olav yored. Tana Rabbanan, the Gemara now speaks this out. V'chiper al kodesh b'tumos, sorry, mi tumos b'nei Yisrael. When the Torah goes over, Nachrimos, the Avodas Yom Kippurim, so it says that it, meaning the Seir HaNasa Bifnim, is going to be providing a kapara mi tumos b'nei Yisrael. So yesh li b'ingin zeh lahavi shalosh tumos. Now, tumah is a term that is used often throughout the Torah, in many different fields and many different averas of the Torah. So tumas avodah zarah, tumas gila arayos, tumas shvichas damim. So b'avodah zarah huomer laman timei es mikdashi. So by avodah zarah, the Torah describes it as a defilement. And b'gila arayos huomer shmatem es mishpatil v'ti asos mechukos ha-toravos v'lo titam'u bahem. And the same thing can be said regarding gila arayos. The Torah talks about it in terms of a defilement. We just saw in last week's parsha, right, that they were, that Dina was, became timei. She was defiled. And shichas damim huamer v'lo titamei es ha'aretz. Same thing by murder. It also, the Torah describes defilement. Yachol. Al shalosh tumos halalu yehei seir mechaper. So maybe the seer, where the Torah says that it achieves some sort of kapara for the tumo, so maybe tumah avodah zarah, gila arayah, shviyah chasdamim. Of course, you notice, by the way, that we're talking about the gimel chamuras. It's the big three. But anyway, but tamah lamar tumas bnei Yisrael. I'm sorry, mi tumas bnei Yisrael v'lo kol tumah. So the mem in front tells us some, not all. Rabbi Shimon Omer mim kamahu mochra. Rabbi Shimon says, I could just see it just looking at the pasuk itself, because it says, Harei Omer v'chiper ala kodesh mitumos, mitumos shel kodesh. It says v'chiper ala kodesh mitumos. Back to back, the word kodesh and tumah tells us that it's specifically the tumah of kodesh. Yachol, just read a little bit more of the brisa. I'll call tumah shebekodesh yehi seir zemechaper tamalomer u'mishpishem l'chol chatosam. Chataim dumi to pshaim. It's a chait similar to pesha. Ma pesha sheina b'nei karban, af chataim eina b'nei karban. It's a chait which does not have a carbon associated with it. What is that talking about? So, Umi Nayan, the Yesh by Yedia B'Tchil Ve'im by Yedia B'Sof, the seer is a Tola, the seer is going to be providing a kapara for Yedia in the beginning, but not Yedia at the end. Tamalomer l'chol chatosam, haynu chatos b'mashma, meaning the chait that's being described over here is whether you use a Yedia in the beginning, but not a Yedia at the end. I ran through that quickly. We're going to be explaining this in much greater detail over the course of tomorrow's daf. We'll pause over here. Tomorrow we pick it up with an explanation of the brisa that we just got done saying.